Hi, friends. This is the greatest corporate challenge that I have ever known or experienced. I've had personal challenges in my life, but I've never before experienced anything like this, where so many people in so many places, so much of the time, are experiencing so much pressure. Do you feel it? I do. I see and I feel the fears over all of the changes of all of the uncertainties. I feel the anger over these long-standing, still unresolved injustices in our culture. Fear and feel the anger over the compromised personal liberties and the businesses that are just struggling and straining and trying to survive. Feel the anxiety as a result of all of these changes, and at times the loneliness and isolation of wanting to be with people and around people, and many times we just can't. I'm feeling all of those things a bit more than normal, and I'm assuming that you are too. So maybe just as a way of checking in with each other, on a scale from a 0 to 10, so 0 meaning not at all, and 10 meaning lots and lots, how much extra pressure do you feel this week compared to, let's say, a year ago? And if you're feeling less pressure, you could use a negative number if you like. But you know, so just take a moment and post a number, whatever that number would be. But my hunch is, as we read each other's numbers there, we're not going to see a lot of zeros, and we're not going to see a lot of negative numbers. Most of us are experiencing more pressure than normal. Now, I should say, if you are experiencing a zero or a negative number, you're actually feeling less pressure, that's great. Don't feel bad about that. In fact, actually, I would just encourage you to use that extra emotional margin that you're feeling. I just encourage you to reach out to those around you who are experiencing the extra pressure and are experiencing the extra isolation and loneliness, and they just need a listening ear. Pick up the phone. Don't just text. Don't just post. Please reach out. Need help even doing that, or you're wondering of ideas and ways you can reach out, call me. We can find a place of ministry for you, okay? But anyways, I'm assuming that you're experiencing some of the same kinds of extra pressures right now. And I'm also assuming that deep in your heart of hearts, you don't want to just react to the anger, to the fear, to the anxiety, or whatever you're feeling. Deep down, you want to respond. You want to be a part of the solution and not just the problem. And for that, well, I know I need help. We need help. See, I want, my heart of hearts, the thing I want and long for more than anything is I want to be led by God. I want the Holy Spirit to empower and lead my life. And I'm assuming that that's true for you as well. That's why you took time out of your day to watch this little video, and we get a little bit of time together right now. You don't want to be a part of the problem. You want to be a part of the solution. You don't want to just react. You want to respond. You want to be led and empowered by God. If you're part of our Sunday worship service, we've just finished singing those words, God, lead me in your love. That's our prayer. That's the cry of our hearts. God, lead me in your love. Now, maybe just as another way of checking in, if we were in a live situation right now, I'd be asking for an amen, and maybe I'd get some. But if that's you, and you're like, yeah, that's what I want. I want to be led by God. I want to be led by God. Give me a little thumbs up, like an emoji thumbs up in the comments. Or if you're like me and you have a hard time figuring out how to make emojis work, just type yep or yes or something like that. Anyways, so that we're feeling some of the same things. We're feeling the extra pressure, and we desire to be led. But here's the good news. We're not the first people to experience those kinds of extra and even extreme pressures. You see, 2,000 years ago in the early church, they were experiencing tremendous pressures of their own. They're not exactly the same, but there certainly are some similarities. They were experiencing political pressure, living under Roman occupation, so their individual liberties were being limited. They were experiencing economic pressure under extreme taxation. So it was really hard to get by. And money was really, really tight. They were experiencing cultural pressure. There's religious opposition. The message of Jesus was unfamiliar and it was disruptive. And those in power didn't want the message of Jesus to spread. They didn't want the name of Jesus to be preached and proclaimed. And yet in the midst of all of these pressures, the political, the economic, the cultural, the early church thrived. They found a way somehow to navigate all the choppy, rocky waters of their time and culture because of something, because of someone, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moving in their midst, empowering their actions, leading their choices. The Holy Spirit is the third member of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is the person of God, or the aspect of God that we experience on a day-to-day basis. When you feel peace in the midst of a crisis, that's the Holy Spirit. When you experience a sense of God's leading in your life, that's the Holy Spirit, or at least it can be the Holy Spirit, which is why it's so important that we learn how to listen well to the Holy Spirit so that we can discern between like what is really God leading us and guiding us and what's just, you know, our emotions, just us getting stirred up about something so that we can respond and not just react. Well, today we're starting a new series that's called Acts of the Holy Spirit, where over the next 8 weeks, we're putting a special emphasis on something that we probably want to do every day, but it's just simply to be aware of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. In particular, to look for the Holy Spirit's work in the Scriptures and then see what we learn from that of how the Holy Spirit moves in our hearts and in our lives today. And so as we start this series off, and over the next 8 weeks, we're going to be preaching predominantly out of the book of Acts. I actually want to take a look at the chapter just before the book of Acts, and then part of the first chapter. As we look at this thing that is the key, there is a key to the Holy, to hearing the Holy Spirit well. It's the number one way that God leads His people. So, do you know what that is? I'm going to leave you with a little bit of tension. If you're uncertain, you can guess. Feel free to guess in the comments. But before you write too much, let's open up the Word and let's turn to Luke chapter 24. So this is just after the resurrection, and anyway. Because I want to pay attention to an aspect of something that happens immediately after the resurrection. That it's a little less dramatic than the parts that we normally focus on regarding the resurrection. It's a little less dramatic, but it is vitally important. So we're going to pick things up on Luke 24, verse 13, on the story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Now, verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. We're going to fast forward just a little bit, because so they start talking and they start comparing some of the notes of what happened to Jesus and talk about some of the initial evidences of the resurrection, how they couldn't find the body, and they don't quite know what to make of it yet. Then we get to verse 25. He, Jesus, said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." Continuing on. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening, the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" So then those disciples, they go back to Jerusalem, and then we come to this next dramatic encounter, and Jesus appears among the disciples. "Touch me and see, a ghost doesn't have flesh and bones as you see I have." So he's giving them all this tangible evidence of his resurrection. And then we pick things up, he has some fish, he eats with them, and then we get to verse 44. "This is what I told you when I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that was written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then, verse 45, he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Now, Jesus has told them before about how all the scriptures pointed to him, but it seems like this is the first point in the New Testament where they really get it. Because as we turn to Acts chapter 1, this is, we're going to pick things up, let's see, verse 15. So this is right after the ascension. So Jesus has gone up into heaven. He's told them to wait for the promised Holy Spirit. And this is the part of the story that we kind of often just skip over. Like, let's get to Acts chapter 2 and where the Holy Spirit comes in power. We're going to get there next week. We're going to talk about that. But there's something that happens here. That's something that happens for the first time. So in those days, Peter, verse 15, stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and he said, "Brothers and sisters, the scriptures had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. For he was one of our number and shared in our ministry." And then we're going to jump down just a little bit to verse 20. "For," said Peter, "it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership.'" Now, this is the first time this happens. Now, this is where the apostles, they start to make this connection with the Word of God. They start to see how the Bible that they've been learning, the Old Testament, all these things that they've memorized, were pointing to Jesus, and how they are now part of this grand story of God's work in the world. And that takes us to this big point that I want to reinforce for us today, or at least remind us of today. And it's this, that the Word of God is key to experiencing and hearing the Spirit of God. Or you could put it this way, the Word is the kindling that the Spirit uses to light a fire in your life. The Word of God, it is the number one way that the Spirit of God leads believers. Now, to be fair, it is not the only way, but it is the first way. It's the primary way. And ultimately, it ends up becoming the way that we discern between, you know, what's just me feeling a strong emotion and what is truly hearing from God. The Word of God is our guide to that, is the number one key to unlocking the Holy Spirit's power in your life. And kind of the second point, two things I hope you remember today. Second one is this, is that the key to the Word is Jesus. The key to the Word is Jesus. The scriptures, this is the story of God's work in people over time. But Jesus is the hero of the story. See, the Old Testament, it points to Jesus and our need for Jesus and the coming of Jesus. And then we get to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they tell the story of Jesus' life, of Jesus' death, and of Jesus' resurrection. And then as we move into Acts and then the epistles and beyond, we now are telling the story of what God, you know, what, because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, of what God was doing in the early church, what he is doing in the church now, and what he will do in the church and in the world in the future. Jesus is the key to the Bible. He is the hero of God's story, not you, not me, not a philosophy, not a political program. Jesus. Jesus is the key. So why is that important for us today? Well, you see, if we want to experience the Holy Spirit in our life, if we want to be led by God, if we want to be able to respond and not just react out of fear or anger or whatever strong emotion we're feeling, and as valid as those emotions are, if we want to respond out of something deeper than that, we need God's Word in our lives. And so as we put this special emphasis on the Holy Spirit, I want to issue a challenge to you. That over the next 8 weeks, that we would be in God's Word together. Now, I'd love it if you'd be reading through the book of Acts. That's where I'm going to be. You know, if you're reading for, let's say, about 10 minutes a day, it's a 10-minute, 8-week challenge. You can read for more than 10 minutes. But please, don't read for less. To give some time to God every day, especially at near the beginning of your day, like so it can set and anchor your heart before you get to the social media, before you get to the news feed, you know, before all of these other influences come crashing in. Let's hear from God together. And what I would urge you to do is to read, number one, read for about 10 minutes a day or more. Two, notice the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. Now, in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit, there's a spotlight on the Holy Spirit throughout. It's a great place to start. But if you're in another reading plan, you're reading elsewhere, that's okay too. But notice the Holy Spirit, because the same Holy Spirit that inspired this book, the same Holy Spirit that moves through the stories that are contained in it, that same Holy Spirit is present with you, with me, and with us right now. He's here. He is right here. He is at work in the world all the time. And so the better I get at being able to notice him here, the better I'll get and you'll get and we'll get in being able to notice him in our own lives too. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to just react. I want to respond from those deeper places. I want to hear from God. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. So, to read. Secondly, to notice. And thirdly, is to talk about it, to do something about it. Tell someone so that we're training our lives to be responsive to God's work in our life. Now, if you're looking for an opportunity to talk about it, you could join me on a Thursday night. It is a cool group, on Zoom. I just love these guys. Where we're looking and trying to notice the Holy Spirit's movement here, and then apply that even to some of the current world events around us and how we're supposed to understand the things that are happening in our world. So I hope you could join me for that, or start your own group. But talk to somebody. Read. Notice. Talk. Apply. So that's the challenge. So one last opportunity to respond before I close, okay? So that's the challenge. 10 minutes a day to read, to notice, to talk, and to apply. Read, notice, talk, apply. Here's what I'd like you to do. If you're in, put that in the comments. Just say, I'm in, or yep, something. Let's be in this together. Let's notice. Let's be paying attention to the Holy Spirit together. Because so you can start those comments now. Go ahead. Because just imagine what can happen if all of us are doing this together. Like, just imagine what can happen if, you know, because of the Spirit's movement in our lives, because of our openness to be responsive to God, we find ourselves, not just individually, but corporately, being less anxious, being less reactionary. What if the people around you say, hey, how come you're not more stressed out than you used to be? And you can say, well, I got help. Just imagine what could happen if the church was known as a place that is part of solutions and not just advancing the problem, of places of genuine empathy and compassion and justice and grace. I long for that in my life. I think you do too. Let's do that together as we seek God together. And if you're taking a brand new step of faith, you're just wondering where God is in your life, I just invite you to ask Christ into your heart. Ask Him to be your Savior. Thank Him for what He did on the cross for you, and invite the Holy Spirit to be your guide. And if you're looking for some human guides along the way, message me. Message one of the other pastors here at the church. We would love to walk alongside you as you begin that journey of faith. But wherever you are on that journey, whether you're just beginning it or you've been walking with God for some time, let's together commit to read, to let the scriptures be part of our life so the Holy Spirit has something to work with in our hearts. It's the kindling that the Spirit uses to light a fire in our life. Let's commit to reading together, to noticing the Holy Spirit together, to talking with one another about it so that we can apply what God is saying to us in our own lives. We live in a world of such great pressure that desperately, desperately needs it. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word that helps us to understand you better. But Lord, as we read your word, first, Lord, help us to be in it. Help us to be people of your word. And Lord, as we are in it, help us to seek you through it. Thank you that you led the early church, that you allowed those early believers to thrive even in the midst of tremendous hardship. And as we're experiencing hardships in our own life, in our own time, God, we want to thrive too. So help us to trust you. Help us to notice your movement in the scriptures and in our lives. And Lord, help us to be a community where we talk about it and encourage one another along. And Lord, help us to apply it. We pray all these things in the name of the one who lived and died and rose again and sent the Spirit to guide us, Jesus Christ. Amen.